It's the award-winning Days In Midwest Race Report on Cool Gold 1460 with Dan the Voice Diker, Billy Doc Niles, and Paul the Statman Reichert, brought to you by the Days In Hotel and Conference Center, just off the interstate at Exit 2. Big Boar Barbecue on Highway 16 West Salem, home of the Ultimate Platter Challenge. By the Thomas Sparta Speedway, racing Friday nights. By FansArena.com, the official clothing supplier for Dan, Doc, and Paul. And by Dells Raceway Park in Wisconsin Dells. Now here's Dan, Doc, and Paul with today's report.
Welcome in, race fans. It is Saturday, half-half race night at the La Crosse Speedway tonight, but a full show coming your way right here on 1460, 101.3. WBOG. It is the Days In Midwest Race Report with Billy Doc Niles, Paul Reichert. I'm Dan Diker. Fresh, well, not fresh, but, well, coming off of a very eventful Sunday last weekend at the famed Milwaukee Mile, one of the oldest racetracks still running in the state of Wisconsin. I'll tell you what, boys, what a fantastic time, both away from the racetrack and at the racetrack.
Paulie, talk about your experiences, man. That looked like a fun time.
Time I've been in Milwaukee since the NASCAR racing back in the 90s and 2000s, since 2000, yeah, 10 years, I think, about. And it was great. I mean, the track looked like it hadn't been seriously aged or anything like that.
It looked
that.
Like it was raced on last weekend.
Yeah.
And they didn't go out and do it. I don't think they did any painting at all.
No, I don't think so.
You know, and some of the stuff I've been seeing online, especially, you know, Bruce Nudelman's videos, which are phenomenal, by the way. If you get a chance, check them out on Facebook. But some of the stuff I saw was just incredible. The last 10 laps of that ARCA Midwest Tour race, just incredible. The passing all the way out to the end. And, you know, the Legends cars, man, I love watching that. All the pictures I saw. Finally, that Johnny Bagerman car was out racing. So, you could,
man, that was
it
the slowest 20 minutes in my life watching that Inti Vintage Lights race.
Looked like you guys had a phenomenal time.
Well, it started on Saturday night. So, we get to the hotel, and we meet up with Drew Krybek.
By the way, that was the only time you ever thanked Mother Nature for raining out lacrosse.
Well, we did want to get there before 2 o'clock in the morning. I would have rather have announced at La Crosse on a Saturday night, but fortunately, we got to leave early. So we get to the hotel. Drew Krybek from the Tundra Super Late Model Series and Thomas Sparta Speedway, I got him a hotel room. So he meets us for dinner, and we go to this Mexican place that's attached to the hotel. And to this day, the waitress we had conned me out of 2 tequila shots. The way she was talking about how we were going to order margaritas.
How does that go again?
She conned us.
How does that work?
I'm asking her about the margaritas. I said, I just need one with tequila in it. She said, do you want a shot with that? I'm like, yeah, how many shots do you put in her? She said, 1, but we can put 2. All right, I said, give me 2 of them. And I'm ordering for my son. So I'm figuring I'm getting 2 shots inside the margarita.
You got a 1-shot margarita and 2 shots on the side, didn't you?
We got a double shot glass on this side and 1 strong margarita on the outside.
We're going to shut his microphone off. He can't even keep a straight face.
So we start the night feeling no pain and then commence to eat one of the best steak and portobello mushroom quesadillas I had ever had in my life.
Nice.
If you're ever going to stay, well, I'm not going to mention the hotel or the restaurant, but if you're staying in Brookfield and you find a hotel that's attached to a Mexican restaurant, you got to eat there. It was simply outstanding.
Yes. So enough of the food.
Oh, no, we're not done yet.
Oh, we're not done yet? Oh, come on.
We got a whole show. So then Rob Reese and Rob Christian texts me and says, Diker, I found a bacon bar. Bing! Oh, man, everything stood up in me.
Whoa, back
a bacon
back
bar.
The fruit truck up.
I'm like, I'm calling them as we just pull into Brookfield. They stopped serving at 10. Darn it, we're not going to be able to eat there. So we're going to the Mexican place, and then we're going in there anyways. The bartender commences to keep feeding me bacon all throughout our stay. Big, long, huge slabs of bacon.
Was that picture I saw?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
They had an old-fashioned. What was it, Paul? I have to keep asking you guys, what was it?
A senior smoked old-fashioned?
It was one of the strongest old-fashions I ever had in my life.
Wait.
That was in a cedar smoked glass.
Was Paul drinking?
Pepsi.
I witnessed it.
Oh.
He witnessed several of them.
Yes.
Okay.
It was one of the most
driver. There we
phenomenal, one of the most phenomenal old-fashions I've ever had in my life. And we spent
about a couple hours there. Well, then Dan's feeding everybody. We had a big group with us. The popcorn that they, you know, you can go in the popcorn, the bar, and with the regular salt. Uh-oh, what's this? Garlic Parmesan salt. Bing, the lights went off again. I'm coating everyone's popcorn with that, so we demolished that. And then it came, I think we closed the bar down, so we actually got, I think, 3 hours, 4 hours of sleep.
That's what you would have got if you'd have drove there after the races.
Yeah, without all the excitement attached
I
to
guess,
it.
Yes, yeah.
I'm up every hour with heartburn and stomachs just floating all over the place. But as soon as we pull into the hotel, we didn't even get into the revolving doors. There was a group of people sitting outside. I hear, hey, Dan. I'm looking around, and I don't recognize any of these people from Minnesota. He was the crew chief for Skip Pollock's
vintage car. Yeah, I saw him down in the pits, yeah, during the race.
And Skip used to be a former Winston Cup crew chief for many years.
Holy cow.
Still can't remember the driver's name he crew chiefed for.
Wasn't it Blackie Wingren?
It was something like that.
Yeah, because Blackie Wingren ran it.
Well, then he ends up going to drink with us afterwards. So that was kind of cool. So we get up. You guys divulged yourselves hardcore in the breakfast. And then we head to the racetrack. And it was just fantastic times from there.
I was just going to say, you know, we only have an hour to do this show.
Well, what we're going to do today is you're going to hear from the Vintage Racing Series winner, the Mid-American winner. I called one of the first flips, and from what I heard, it was over 50 years at the Milwaukee Mile during that Mid-Am race, which we'll talk about later on. We also have the video on our Facebook page.
Awesome.
You're going to hear from first, second, and third from the ARCA Midwest Tour. Today, you're going to hear from Greg McCarnes. What's the possibility, Greg, of this coming back next year? Johnny Sauter, suspended for tonight's race with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series
or whatever it is now.
He's going to join us in the program. He's racing the Dells tonight. Paul has his own segment, and then we'll be back to close things off. So first things first, how about we start the show with a quick rundown of our sponsors?
Hey, by the way, it's Dells, Days In Midwest Race Report. That's who sponsors it right here, La Crosse. Talk to our boy Dyke right here. He can set you up with a room when you're in town. Big Boar Barbecue in West Salem, once again, voted one of the best in the area. Dells Raceway Park, they got a big 50-lapper going on tonight featuring Johnny Sauter and Rich Bickle Jr. Toma Sparta Speedway every Friday night. They took last night off for this weekend's tractor pull. Fansarena.com, J&L Collectibles, and GlassCarver.com. Thank you all for supporting the Days In Midwest Race Report in 2019.
The last gentleman to win the Oktoberfest Upper Midwest Racing Vintage Series race at the La Crosse Speedway was also the one that won the two prior, Woody Poole, and he came out and won the Upper Midwest Vintage Racing Series race at the Milwaukee Mile last weekend. Here's what Woody had to say afterwards.
Well, congratulations on the victory here at the Milwaukee Mile. Take us through the race today. How'd it go for you?
A lot of cars to pass, short time to do it, and we had a pretty good hot rod today. Could have been a little better, but that's always the case.
Oh, yeah. And a great battle here with Jim Culsouth here in the last few laps after that late restart there.
Right, absolutely. Good, clean driver. Fast car, yeah, and we got the same fire suit.
Yeah. And tell us a little about the car here that you've had for quite a while, the one that's dominated Oktoberfest for like 3-4 years in a row here.
This is a 70 Torino body. The chassis is a Tech 1 chassis. It's built in 1998. I've had it since it was new, and it's like putting on your slippers when I get in it. I'm comfortable in it, and it's pretty fast.
Oh, yes. And what does it mean to you? I mean, it means a lot to everybody else here, but to be here at the Milwaukee Mile racing here, what does it mean to you?
Well, right now I still got a chill up my back. This is such a hallowed grounds. They should be racing here all the time, and not just once in a blue moon. This is just a wonderful deal.
Oh, yes, yes. Everyone definitely feels that way. And being a part of the Upper Midwest Vintage Racing Series, seeing all these guys with these classic cars we probably remember from back in the day, being a part of the series, what does that mean to you there?
Well, these are a good bunch of guys. They're good and friendly. I met these two guys on either side of me this weekend. We're like friends for life now. That's how that works. You know, true racers, everybody's good and keeps their own deal going, and it's, you know, there's no money in this stuff. It's just go out and have some fun. The camaraderie is great, and just glad to be here.
And notice on the car here you have the POWMIA. How did you get involved in that? How did they get involved with the drive here?
I volunteered to put that on the car myself. I'm a veteran, and there's a lot of people that didn't come back from NAM and that, and this is my tribute to them. I'm racing for them, for myself too, but for my buddies, all and right. That's all I can say.
And could we see you back at Oktoberfest, maybe to go do it again?
We might try and make that. I think this is my last year with this because of my age, you know, yeah. So we got to do something else.
All right. Well, Woody, again, congratulations on winning the Upper Midwest Vintage Racing Series event here at the Milwaukee Mile, and hopefully we'll see you at Oktoberfest.
Thank you. See you up there.
Dan, is it me or is it just like it seemed like Woody wins big races every year?
Well, Woody also just turned 76 years old, winning these big races every single year. Mid-American Stock Car Series was on in full force. Ron Vandermeer Jr. got flipped over by Bill Prietzel, unintentionally avoiding a wreck from the leaders. He went about 200 yards in his lid, then actually came back over, and his tire's pretty sore, but he was all right. Ron Wire is your Mid-American Stock Car Series winner. Got some history in him after this.
First question, did you see what happened? Was it going into three was the crash that brought out the red?
No, it started in two. The 54 and the 7 were getting together. They just couldn't get apart. I think it was just a racing incident.
Was it 7?
7 Shelton? Had a big tank slapper, and then 54 and I snuck by, and I didn't see what happened after that.
Wait, was it the 7 Shelton?
Yeah, the leader.
So they were
leading
just battling.
The race.
Yeah, they were just battling.
They're just battling, and they kind of got hung on each other. Looked like a racing incident, but hope they're okay. It looked like a bad wreck.
Yeah. You got through it.
Yeah, so I got through
right.
it.
Congratulations on that.
So thank you, and I'd like again thank my dad on Father's Day. It's the best gift I could give him, huh?
What's your dad's name?
Dale Wire. Yeah.
What's your background? I mean, your name is familiar, but where are you from? How old are you? What's real life?
Grew up in Menominee Falls. My dad started racing at Slinger on dirt. And my nephew races now. My son races karts. I race mainly now. I've been doing road racing, SCCA road racing. But we still had the Mid-Am car and wanted to try it out one more time. You know, we had to come here to help with the support of this track. It's important to keep this going, and it's good to see a crowd.
How often do you do the mid-ams?
I haven't since 2013.
Okay, so this is the first one since 2013. Yeah. You got it in the victory lane.
Yeah, I got it in the victory lane, so I'm very happy.
What was, you mentioned that it was about coming back to the mile. What were some, why did you want to come back to the mile?
Well, I mean, it's a historic track. We got to keep it going since 1903. They say it's been open, so. And it's right down the road for me too, you know, so you gotta come. So we're very happy about it.
When you heard that the Mid-Am was gonna come here, were you right away on board with that?
Oh, yeah.
Seeing it's been 6 years since you've been in the Mid-Am car?
My parents live in Mexico half of the year. I instantly sent them we do a video Snapchat thing, I don't even know what you call it. Marco Polo. I like that. The miles opened up again, Mid-Am's going, let's go. So
what kind of memories do you have at this racetrack?
Bad until today. No, I mean, I was coming here when I was a kid to watch Indy cars when you had to be here by 5 in the morning or else you didn't get a spot in the infield, you know? So, you know, I saw A.J. Foyt, Mario Andretti, Nigel Mansell. I saw all the big names here, and it's just neat to come and drive on the same track and not much less win, you know?
And talk about that great battle with Scott Usher there in the last four-lap shootout there, Ron.
Yeah, I was happy to see Scott was behind me because I know he wouldn't lay a bumper on me. He's a class act. He's a great kid. I've raced with him many times. But then when I saw that 88 coming, I was nervous. There was one to go, and he was coming fast. And I don't look in the mirrors anymore. Hit your marks. And the checker came out, so... Thanks, guys.
So, do you think this is a great event? I mean, we got a lot of variety. You got vintage stock cars, vintage Indy car.
Yeah, the vintage is super cool. Those old Indy cars are neat. So, we're going to go back to the hauler and crack a cold one and watch the 100.
All right, thanks so much.
Wow, what a race. And Dan, what about that car that Ron drove to Victory Lane in?
That was Ron's father's former Mid-American stock car that had sat around for 8 or 9 years. They just took it out of the barn last week, dusted it off, and he went out there and ran one spectacular race, top 10 pretty much the entire way. and ended up winning that race.
Holy cow.
He has not been a short track driver for about 8 or 9 years. He does short tracks with the SSC.
Like runoffs or whatever.
Yeah, one of the touring series. Yeah. So he hops back in a Mid-American Stock Car Series race and ends up winning it. When we come back, ARCA Midwest Tour, third, second, first, McCarns, that's next on WBOG.
Are you looking for comfort under the sun? You can find that and a whole lot more with your stay at the Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island, La Crosse. The Days Inn has 148 spacious rooms, an indoor pool, hot tub, fitness room, and plenty of banquet space to host that big meeting or wedding reception. If you're hungry, food and drink are just steps away at Heroes Bar and Grill inside the hotel. So if you're planning a pool party, wedding reception, or just want a night away in a jacuzzi suite, Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island is your stop under the sun.
Every Friday night, Western Wisconsin will once again come alive with the sights and sounds of stock car racing. And Friday night, it's the mid-season championships. The competition heats up. Mods, sportsmen, hobby stocks, mini stocks, Hornets, six shooters. For more information, go to TobaSpartaSpeedway.com. And check out their Facebook page for events, giveaways, and a whole lot more. It's the mid-season championships this Friday night at the Toba Sparta Speedway.
We made it through the first turn. Now back to Dan, Doc, and Paul on the Days Inn Midwest Race Report.
Welcome, race fans. It's the Days Inn Midwest Race Report here on 1460 101.3 WBOG. I'm radio man Dan Doc, along with Paul the Penguin Reichert and Billy Doc Nels. ARCA Midwest Tour 100 lapper. They had to run a B main. They had so many cars in this thing. And I tell you what, there's a lot of drivers that were wishing they got into this one right here.
Yeah, they do.
Star-studded from front to back. I let alone get down to the A.J. Foyt winner's circle. I head over to the front straight away. Danny Fredrickson's winning this race with eight to go. Kevin Ramsdell, former ARCA Midwest Tour PR director, texts me. Think Fredrickson will hold on? I said, not a problem. He had a 15-car length lead. No longer did I get there to say hi to Ty Majeski's mom and dad, as I normally do, get back to my standing spot, and Fredrickson had lost the lead, and it was big-time lead to Nason.
Yeah, that was Nason took tires late in the race, and then he caught up to Dan and ended up with the win.
Yeah, and Nason actually passed him with about six to go, and so let's hear what Dan had to say as he came in third in last week's 100-lapper in Milwaukee.
Danny, man, what a tough blow that was right there. I was even texting up on the tower. I thought you had this thing in the bag.
Yeah, sitting duck. We pitted early, and the way the cautions came out, the windows that they had, you know, predetermined in the race for the competition, the cautions, and I didn't know, if you put tires on when we did, it was a pretty safe bet, you know, to conserve your lefts. If you waited like Ty did, you know, they really hurt their lefts pretty bad staying out that long. But I wish more people would have done what I done, because only six of us stayed out on that last caution. So, you know, there's a field of cars, seventh on back with new tires on. To be honest with you, I'm glad to get third, because I figured I'd have been eighth, you know.
Talk about the overall experience of bringing this thing back to the mile and your feelings on maybe making this an annual event.
Oh, yeah, we should race here every Saturday night. I think it's great. It is a little harder on equipment as far as just, you know, motors and stuff like that, but it's a great place to come once a year. I love it. It reminds me so much of what we had back home with the Minnesota State Fair, and you know, Minnesota screwed that up. Hopefully Wisconsin gets it figured out here and keeps this place going. We should definitely come here at least once a year.
You know what I like about Dan Fredrickson? If he knows you as a reporter, he's friendly. Mm-hmm. He knows what I want to hear. Some of the other people that we had no clue who they were got 5-second quotes, and that was it.
Wow.
In, out, done.
Tell you, another guy who had a great race, Ty Majeski, came on strong at the end. He was able to pass Fredrickson to get second. Here's what he had to say after the race.
Started off really well, fell back a lot. Was there a difference then on that caution?
Yeah, I don't know. I think either we started our balance off too free. You know, like I said, we drove through the field really easily, and I wasn't even going hard. I just think our balance is too free, and we quartered right, retired in that middle run, caused us to lose a ton of track position. And we're just too far back there when we all put tires on. I don't know where we restarted, 17th or something, and with 18 to go. So it's just tough. This place gets so spread out. So I think we had the best car at the end. We just ran out of time. So that's racing sometimes. Congrats to the 14 guys. They had a great car all day. And, man, I really want to win here really bad.
All of a sudden, I mean, though, you are, you know, towards the front with, you know, a couple laps ago. Did you think you had anything for those guys down the stretch?
If we had a caution to bunch them up, but I knew once I got into fourth and the top three were battling, I knew Austin was just too far out front. I thought maybe I could get second out of it, which I did, but the 14 was just too far out front. You know, he was the first car in our strategy. I knew he had tires, so it was going to be an uphill battle to catch him.
What did it mean just to come back and be able to race here this weekend?
This place is so cool. You know, we all wanted to win here. We don't know what the last race is going to be here, so we all want to win while we have the opportunity, and wish it could have been one spot better today. Thank you.
And Ty, real quickly, with the experience you have had over the past 2 years on larger tracks like this, you obviously had a step up over almost three quarters of the field. Did you have that feeling as you enter this race?
Yeah, to an extent. Obviously, with the big track experience, it helps here with dirty air and stuff. We saw a lot of that today. You could get to a guy, and it was harder to complete the pass. And you know, that's something I've had experience with, and on these big tracks. And I kind of know the feel that I'm looking for as far as the big track goes. And I think it played into our hands a little bit today. It might have hurt it. I might have had the car just a little bit too free to start off the race, and eventually corded that right rear tire, and just lost too much track position to get it back.
Talk about if this were an annual event now. Obviously, you have made such, I mean, you and I have gone through this for many times. You've made such a splash in the state of Wisconsin, and now you've made a splash nationally. Making this an annual event, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is a super cool event. We'll be back here for as long as I can come back, so or as long as my schedule allows anyway. So, you know, this is a track everyone wants to win at. I haven't won here before, and I really want to get that last notch here in Wisconsin. Won on just about every paved racetrack other than Thomas Sparta, which don't run late models, so it'll be cool to win here.
I just talked to Greg Oliver about a half an hour ago about Thomas Sparta, because you know I announced there too. If we get a super late model race, are you going to go?
You know, if I win here, I might just have to go, just to win them at all tracks. But no, it's just thankful to have this program to come back to and race. I love racing late models, and obviously where I cut my teeth, and it's really fun to drive fast race cars.
Interesting that both Majeski and Fredrickson tires are what spelled them away from winning this race. And normally, you don't hear a lot about tires, you know, in an ARCA Midwest Tour race.
And I actually saw someone be a little bit critical of the decision for Majeski not to take tires towards the end, and they seemed a little critical about that. Majeski could have won, but there was a big winner. He did take tires. He did run away with it in the last few laps. Let's talk to last weekend's winner at the ARCA Midwest Tour 100 in Milwaukee, Austin Nason.
Austin Nason, tell you what, man, you talk about saving it for the right place at the right time. It took me no less than 3 minutes to go from one place to the other, and you were like five marks in front of Fredrickson. Talk about the last four or five laps of that race.
Yeah, the thing, we waited there to put tires on till the last possible minute. It fired off really good on the restart. Got stuck behind some slower cars. I had to go three wide and going into one there just to make sure I got by them. And then we slowly started picking off cars. The thing was just unbelievable there after we put tires on it. I was riding around the first half there. Just got up to fifth, and we were a little too tight, but putting tires on the thing just woke it right up. So, yeah, it was a fast move there.
Talk about, I mean, how much did tire strategy play into your entire game? A lot of these guys have never been here before, so you really don't know what to do even when you're going through practice. And I asked Danny and Todd the same thing, and it was kind of three or four notches down their entire strategy. How much was tire strategy involved in your game plan?
It was pretty big. This place wears out tires fast, so we had to really pay attention and just wait for the tires just at the right time there. We didn't know when we got here if we were going to put lefts or rights on, so we just kept an eye on tire wear there. Practiced all day yesterday. We did about 50 laps on a set of tires, and we just took all our notes down, just did our homework on the tires, and we made a decision there to put rights on, and it just it was a good decision.
Heading into the mile, I mean, obviously nobody thinks they're going to come in here and just dominate and win this race. When you knew you signed up to run the mile, I mean, what were your hopes and aspirations besides finishing?
Just coming here and running good. Like I said last time, we came here, we destroyed a race car, so we built a new one, and 2 weeks ago it was only a chassis, so we took our time, we built it right, we did everything we possibly could, and this track's all about aerodynamics. I mean, you can't just bring a race car here. You got to make sure it's braced right. You got to make sure the body's hung right. It's just a big track. I mean, like you said, you can't just expect to come here and dominate. You got to come here with that mindset that you're going to run good. But to come here and dominate, it's just tough to do because there's so many different lines around this place. There's so many different motor combinations and chassis and everything else. It's just there's so many equations that go into racing anymore that you just can't put that in your head that you're going to come and dominate.
And then you throw in some guys that do not run the tour that are from out of state. You don't know how they're going to run you. You don't know anything about them.
Yeah, I ran with a couple of them down south. So they, but like you said, it's a different world down there when you run with those guys. So you really don't know how they're going to run when they come up here. So it has to be a clean race to run here. You can't beat and bang like you can at the short track. So, I mean, everyone raced really clean. I don't think there was one wrecked race car out of this race, which is good news for everyone. But the racetrack was super racy today. You can move all around and still not really lose anything to anyone and actually gain in some spots. So it was a good day for us.
Talk about the overall event. I mean, Greg McCarns has worked on this thing for 3 years with Bob Sargent. Talk about the overall event of this entire day.
It was amazing just coming here. They had their stuff together last night. They did the street drags. They put everything together right, and I can't thank those two enough for bringing race cars back here. Race cars deserve to race here. This place is just awesome. So I can't wait to hopefully get back here, hopefully next year, and just keep the tradition going.
Yeah, one of the biggest races of Austin Nason's career. And as he was doing a burnout, which we got video of on the TV show this week, his spotter was telling him to save the motor. He's got a race tonight against all these other superstars. It's like the Milwaukee Mile now goes to Dells Raceway Park tonight for the Dick Trickle 99.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show up there. So,
and then you add Johnny into the mix. You know, and it was I thought last weekend everything I've seen was a huge success. And Dan caught up with ARCA Midwest Tour owner Greg McCarns to get his view on how things
went. I've got to congratulate you on putting an event like this. Of course, Mother Nature tried to put this thing in the garbage. I think that the fans were outstanding. I saw the lines at the food lines, and the racing was just phenomenal. Your views on running this race?
Yeah, obviously we wish that it was a 75-degree and sunny day, but we got the rain passed this morning, and we got the air tighten out, and the Midwest Trucks, Mid-American, and Upper Midwest Vintage, those guys went out and finished the drying process. It really really went quicker than we thought, and we were able to start just 5 minutes late and put in a whale of a show. The fans saw a little bit of everything. We had a rollover, we had drama towards the end of the races with passes for the lead, and it was just a great way to bring racing back to the Milwaukee Mile, and just proud to be part of it.
You know, this didn't happen overnight. I know this took several years with you and Bob to get this thing put together. And a lot of people have already asked me, hey, what are the chances of getting this thing out here in a yearly event?
Well, it's been about 3 years of working on getting back to the mile. And we were finally able to do it today. And we didn't do all this work with intentions of only doing it once. You know, our plan is to get racing back and viable at Milwaukee. And today was a good first step.
Now, when I talked to Greg McCarns right at the end of that race, that was before Bob Sargent had put the tweet out there that, yes, there will be another one of these races happening at the Milwaukee Mile next year. He did not say whether it's going to be on Father's Day weekend or not, but this type of race will be held again next year.
That is phenomenal. And, you know, it's what we see, about 7,000 people in the stands, which I thought was great.
I think the combined between the stands and the pits was close to 8, which for putting this thing together for the past year and a half and those many divisions and the Inti Racing Light League, I was thrilled at everything about that.
You know, and word of mouth was going to get out about how great this show was. And I think from here it's only going to get bigger.
Mother Nature, you cannot combat Mother Nature. If that would have been 75 and sunny, you're talking close to 15,000 fans,
easily.
I guarantee you.
Easily. And it's only going to get bigger and better. Hey, when we come back, we have a big guest coming up here. He's got a weekend off from the Truck Series. He's going to spend some time
with the Dells. I don't
like
the nickname, though. He's not the bad boy of NASCAR. They labeled him that this week, and I refuse to use that on the program.
We won't call him that when he comes on. And in our next segment, we're going to have NASCAR Truck Series point leader Johnny Sauter. You're listening to the Days in Midwest Race Report on Cool Gold 1460 AM, 101.3 FM, WBOG.
You don't have to fly to Kansas City to get great barbecue.
Are you ready for the Ultimate Platter Challenge? Jerry here at Big Boar Barbecue. Our Ultimate Platter is loaded with pork, brisket, chicken, ribs, three sides, and four slices of bread. If you can eat it all, it's yours free. I'll even give you a certificate for another one you can share with your friends. So how about it? You ready to take the challenge? Stop by, check out the rules, and dig in. And oh yeah, that's a mouthful.
Are you looking for comfort under the sun? You can find that and a whole lot more with your stay at the Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island, La Crosse. The Days Inn has 148 spacious rooms, an indoor pool, hot tub, fitness room, and plenty of banquet space to host that big meeting or wedding reception. If you're hungry, food and drink are just steps away at Heroes Bar and Grill inside the hotel. So if you're planning a pool party, wedding reception, or just want a night away in a jacuzzi suite, Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island is your stop under the sun.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells presents the Alive for 5, race number 3, the Dick Trickle 99. The UMA Super Late Models challenge each other for 99 grueling laps. The modified Sportsman's and INEX Legends add to the excitement. Gates open at 3, qualifying at 4:30, green flag racing at 6. Dells Raceway Park, located 5 miles west of Wisconsin Dells on Highways 12 and 16. Go online to DellsRaceWayPark.com for more info. Dick Trickle 99 tonight at Dells Raceway Park.
Now back to Dan, Doc, and Paul on the Days Inn Midwest Race Report on Cool Gold 1460.
Welcome back, race fans. It's the Days Inn Midwest Race Report at 1460 and 101.3 WBOG. Dan Dyker, Billy Doc Niles, Paul Riker joining you in the program. Our special guest in the program today has never denied us an interview. If he has time, he makes time to come on the show, as does all of his family members from the entire Wisconsin area. Coming off of an interesting race this past weekend, he's going to be at Dells Raceway Park tonight, and that is NASCAR Truck Series driver Johnny Sauter. Johnny, how are you, my friend?
Doing really well, actually. So just been working on the car a little bit here, getting ready for the Dells, as you mentioned, and enjoying a beautiful day.
You know as well as anybody else in this area that this show's been on for a long time. I do not discuss controversy. I don't like going down that road. But then again, if I don't talk about the incident between you and Austin Hill last Sunday, then people are going to go, oh, you just couldn't talk about it to Johnny. Let's go ahead and get it out of the way. How big of a deal was the deal with you and Austin Hill and the one race suspension?
Well, I mean, obviously it's not an ideal situation. you don't ever want to get suspended, but you know, on the flip side of that, it was a deal that kind of started at Texas and I kind of let it go. And then, kind of festered over a little bit and, into Iowa and we made a little contact and then he wrecked me. So I have a myriad of thoughts and I'm sure your program's not long enough to go through it all, but
right.
You know,
we've got two segments to fill.
You know, the sports changed and you either accept it or go away. So, but there's just a lot of things that go through a guy's mind and I'm one of those kind of guys that just probably wears his emotions on his sleeves and takes things to another level that maybe some guys can handle better than that. But that's the way I am. And in hindsight, even though we're 3 days removed and I knew that I was going to get suspended, I wouldn't change anything about it. So that's the way it goes. And moving forward, I know how to handle the situation accordingly.
Now, NASCAR Senior Vice President of Competition Scott Miller said the governing body was not completely done with examining Hill's behavior in all this. Were you surprised that he didn't get tagged with at least a race?
No, not really. I mean, that's kind of been the protocol. In history, you've seen guys get parked for wrecking guys under caution, and I could see part of that. Obviously, there's track safety workers involved at that point when the caution's out. So having said that, I knew that I was the caution, and I knew that I didn't get involved with anybody other than myself getting back in the fence. So, and I was on the completely opposite end of the racetrack. But that's no excuse. I mean, honestly, probably should have handled it differently and wouldn't have gotten in trouble. But at the time and the time and place, emotions run high. So I'll never apologize for that because it's just the way I am.
You made a pretty good point early in this statement here where you said they've parked guys before. You've seen what they've done to guys like Kyle Busch. What were you expecting them for the first couple of days this week?
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much knew. I mean, after my meeting, what was coming down the pike. I mean, they take the safety part of this thing pretty seriously. More importantly than not even really so much the drivers as it is you know, the track safety workers, like I mentioned. So, and I think that's great. I mean, those guys are out there totally unprotected. And if something did ever happen in the event, God forbid, you know, somebody loses their cool and were to affect one of those people, I mean, it would just be devastating. So I totally get the suspension. I'm not denying that at all. And do I think Austin should have been suspended? No. I mean, do I think he needs to have his ass beat? Absolutely. At the end of the day, it's just a different world than it was. You know, I can remember spinning out or running into Kevin Noodleman early in my career. And here comes this big farm boy and puts his hand on my shoulder, and I was shaking in my boots, you know. And, you know, the message was delivered clear that day. So, and unfortunately, in today's world, you'd never have an opportunity to even get to Austin Hill. And you know, I think the unfortunate part, in my humble opinion, is the fact that the way I see it is it kind of enabled that kind of behavior, you know, not, you know, doing handling it the way that it is and me getting suspended. It kind of enables guys to say, hey, I can get away with that. You know, no matter if it's 1 week in a row, 2 weeks in a row, I can just wreck people. And to me, that's a bad signal. But I don't think anybody should ever be suspended unless it's something, you know, really bad. But hell, I don't make those decisions. But it's tough. I mean, you know, the hardest part for me is when these young kids bring their parents to the racetrack and the parents start running their mouths and they get involved. That's when I got a problem. I mean, when I first started racing, my old man said, good luck. You know, he didn't even go to the racetrack.
Right,
so
right.
It's just a different world. And quite frankly, if I was the head of the sanctioning body, I'd say, yeah, you guys can come and race all you want, but your parents can sit in the stands. They don't need to be in the pits. That's my opinion.
NASCAR Truck Series driver Johnny Sauter joining us on the program for two segments today. He's third in points, 52 behind Brad Moffitt. The good part of this, Johnny Sauter, especially since I'm a Sauter fan, I think everybody in this room is, you're still able to compete for a championship, so you blow this weekend off and you just keep looking forward.
No, it's good. I mean, obviously, you know, you want to be in the truck, but, you know, that's not in the cards. So next best thing is to go race with the super late model. And obviously, I think a lot of people know that I enjoy doing that and build my own cars and pretty much do everything in-house here. So, you know, I have just as much fun building the cars as I do going and racing them. So something I'm looking forward to. I haven't been out actually since Oktoberfest, so it's been, what, 8 months, I guess. So I'm looking forward to getting to the Dells. I ran there last September, and things turned out pretty good with the wind and all that. So, but the Dells is just a cool place, very demanding, demands a lot out of your race car. And so it's fun. it's a good deal to be able to go there and run and, good paying race and, you know, it's another trickle memorial race, which is kind of cool. So, yeah, I'm pumped about it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We're going to talk more in the next segment about tonight's race at the Dells. Real quickly, a great friend of mine, and we have sponsored him on our radio and TV show on his car for many, many years, Matt Henderson, ended up just vinyling an old Johnny Sauter car from last year. He's got it looking fantastic. When did those conversations take place? Because I tell you what, you made Matt one happy, happy driver.
Well, it's they had actually contacted me a couple years ago about buying one of my cars, and you know, it didn't materialize at the time. And excuse me, you know, that's a big chunk to bite off. You know, going super late model racing, it's not just buying a car; it's everything else that goes along with it. So I was happy they were able to get to that point, and you know, they spent some time down here and came and looked at the car and all that. And I'm actually going to go test with them here, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, so they can get their feet wet a little bit. And so, yeah, it's just cool. He's a really good kid. I'd obviously known him, but I really got to know him pretty good. And what a great family they've got there. And hopefully it works out, and we can have some fun.
NASCAR Truck Series driver Johnny Sauter joining us in the program. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Johnny at the Dells tonight and some pretty thick competition that he's rubbed some fenders with in the past. That's going to be coming up next on WBOG.
Every Friday night, Western Wisconsin will once again come alive with the sights and sounds of stock car racing. And Friday night, it's the mid-season championships. The competition heats up. Mods, sportsmen, hobby stocks, mini stocks, Hornets, six shooters. For more information, go to TobaSpartaSpeedway.com. And check out their Facebook page for events, giveaways, and a whole lot more. It's the mid-season championships this Friday night at the Toba Sparta Speedway.
We issued the ultimate platter challenge, and you said yes. Hi, this is Jerry at Big Boar Barbecue. Congratulations to Ethan Teske and Adam Allberg, They took the challenge and finished in under 30 minutes. It was a joy to behold. Half a pound of pulled pork, half a pound of brisket, half a rack of ribs, half a smoked chicken, 3 pints and sides, 4 slices of bread. Now it's your turn. Take the challenge, get the entire platter for free and another one to share. The Ultimate Platter Challenge at Big Boar Barbecue. And oh yeah, that's a huge mouthful.
This is Steve Bachman, driver of the number 14 NASCAR late model at La Crosse Fairground Speedway. You're listening to the Days In Midwest Race Report with Dan, Doc, Paul on Cool Gold 1460.
Welcome back, race fans. Dan Dinker, Bill Doc Niles, and Paul Riker joining you on the Days In Midwest Race Report at 1460 and 101.3 WBOG. I want to thank those folks listening on Alexa, listening on the TuneIn app.
Love that TuneIn app.
And CoolGold1460.com, averaging about 15,000 listeners in about 8 or 9 states every single year. Continuing our conversation with NASCAR Truck Series driver Johnny Sauter, Wisconsin's very own. And Johnny, going to be racing right in our backyard tonight. Ty Majeski's been in this program many, 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 many times. A guy that if he shows up at a track, you automatically think he's going to win, but he's told us many times he cannot qualify at Dell's Raceway Park if someone gave him $1 million to do so. How does Johnny Sauter look at Dell's Raceway Park?
Well, I mean, as far as the racetrack and all that,
yeah.
Well, I mean, for me, it's a special place just because it's a place I first ever turned the lap on in a race car. So,
oh, I didn't know
it's
that.
Been a special. Yeah, no, it's 1996. I had a street stock, and that's the first place I ever turned a lap. So, yeah, so that to me, and it's funny because it seems like a long time ago, which is 22 years ago, I guess. Yeah, I still remember that like it was yesterday, and pulling in there and having no clue, and I didn't go practice or test or nothing. Just showed up on race night. So, you know, the Dells is obviously, you know, really close to home. And I spent a lot of time there helping my brothers on their race cars, you know, just in the pits and all that. So, and spent my fair share of time on the hill as well, watching my dad race there. So, which is very similar to a lot of the racetracks in Wisconsin, if you want to know the truth. But the Dells is just a fun place. And I never really had an opportunity to run super late models there much up until the last few years. So, you know, I went there on a Saturday night in 2016. I can't even remember and won and then wasn't able to go back until last year and for the tour race and won that. So, but both times I wasn't totally happy with my car. So I got some work to do, but you know, it's just a fun racetrack. And it's, like I said before, it demands a lot out of your race car and handling wise. So that's part of the challenge and that's part of the fun.
Johnny Sauter joining us on the program. He will be at the Dick Trickle 99 Alive for 5 Series UMA Super Late Model race tonight at Dell's Raceway Park. Johnny, you're going up against guys that you have to be in the background watching get better and better. And we're talking Austin Nason, who won the Milwaukee Mile last week. Ultra Fast Gacy Johnson, probably one of the best in the state right now. Andrew Morrissey, Dalton Zier, Skyler Holzhausen, and Rich Bickle. I mean, this isn't one where you can really go in and think you're going to cakewalk, correct?
No, I don't. You don't ever feel that way. So I've been racing too long. It's just too humbling of a sport to think you're going to go in and spank them. So especially guys that race these cars, maybe not so much at the Dells every week, but, you know, race these cars pretty much every week, and they get in tune with their stuff. And so, yeah, it's a tall order by all, you know, figments of the imagination. I mean, it demands a lot of effort and a lot of work. So I got my work cut out for me. There's no doubt about it. But like I said, I've had some decent success there the last couple times I've been there. But, you know, I'm not very good about taking notes. So as I'm sitting here looking at this car, trying to figure out a setup, I'm kind of guessing as to what I ran even the last couple times I've been there. So, but yeah, competition's tough. I think it's going to be a great race. I'm excited about it. It's you know, what I consider the best the state has to offer, and quite frankly, probably some of the best racers in the country. So, yeah, I look forward to it.
Rich Bickle made a statement earlier this week. He said he doesn't give a rat's, you know what, about the $5,000. He wants the Dick Trickle Trophy. Is that like the Dick Trickle 99 at La Crosse last year? Is that something you look forward to, is grabbing a trophy in the honor of Dick Trickle?
Well, I think at the end of the day, that's what we all race for pretty much, is trophies. The money is nice and all that. But, yeah, I'm not going to lie, that Dick Trickle trophy from Oktoberfest is sitting right there in a very prominent spot, you know, up against some of the coolest trophies I've got. So, yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, the prestige of it all and in memory of a guy that was what I consider you know, it doesn't get more of a description of a real racer than him. So a guy that could build his own car and set up his own car, go to the racetrack and drive it and win. And that's the ultimate. So I think that's part of the allure to go into a race like that is yeah, the money's great, but, you know, the trophies are at the end of the day, that's the story.
And that was one of the coolest trophies that I have been a part of at Oktoberfest was announcing right there on the stage with Johnny Sauter last year when he took home that Dick Trickle trophy.
Yeah, no, it's that was an extra special day at Oktoberfest. I mean, I think that was only the second time I had attempted to win that thing. But, you know, there's a little bit of strategy involved in that thing when it's three segments and there are 33 laps with the inverts and all that stuff. And, you know, and the coolest thing, I guess, that day for me was, you know, Vic Getzloff was with me. And
oh, that's right. Yeah.
For a long, long time.
Yep.
Yeah.
What are the chances Victor's going to be with you Saturday tonight?
You know, I was thinking about that today. I was going to have my wife check in some flights and see what his schedule looked like. So. See what he was up for. Obviously, he lives in North Carolina, so it's a little bit different. But, yeah, I'm working on that. But I don't know. It'd be fun to have him there.
So, obviously, you like getting back to Wisconsin and racing. Tonight, you know, probably you would rather be somewhere else, but the Dells is great. Any chance you're going to make it back to Wisconsin one or two more times before Oktoberfest?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to – I've committed to the Slinger Nationals already. Love to get up to Kaukauna and maybe run a weekly show, you know, and places that I haven't raced a ton but have – I've had a lot of fun with Wausau. I'd like to get to Marshfield. I mean, there's some cool tracks around here. And honestly, a lot of places I really didn't race that much. So, hell, when I go back to Slinger for the Nationals, it'll only be the third time I've ever been there. So,
oh, wow, that's surprising.
I've been to once. There's a lot of racetracks I just haven't raced at. So.
And that field at Slinger this year of the Nationals is loaded from front to back. I can't wait to see that one.
That's a tough one. You know, qualifying there is just – a fraction, and you're either in or you're out, and obviously you don't want to be in one of those dreaded, you know, last chance races. And
right.
so it's tough. That place there has got my number. I'll be honest with you. Out of all the racetracks in the state, I feel like I got a pretty good baseline package, and can go compete pretty well. But that place there, for some reason, I think it takes for me, it's a totally fundamental change from everything I've been doing everywhere else. So, I got that in the back of my mind and going to work pretty hard to try to figure something out for this year.
He'll be at the UMA Super Late Model Return to Dells Raceway Park tonight. The Alive for 5 Series Trickle 99. NASCAR may have taken him away from racing this weekend, but Johnny Sauter did not take himself away, and he will be at the Dells tonight. Third in points, still going for a championship.
Oh, welcome home, Johnny.
Yeah, welcome back home. I know there's going to be a lot of folks from around the Cedar heading down there later tonight. Johnny, that's all the time we have. Every chance we get you on, it is greatly, greatly appreciated, and we will see you soon enough down the road.
Sounds good, guys. I appreciate you having me, as always.
Thanks, all righty, NASCAR Truck Series driver Johnny Sauter going to be at the Dells tonight looking for a win down there. When we come back, well, we're going to just let Paul Riker give us a whole bunch of results. That's next on WBOG.
Are you looking for comfort under the sun? You can find that and a whole lot more with your stay at the Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island, La Crosse. The Days Inn has 148 spacious rooms, an indoor pool, hot tub, fitness room, and plenty of banquet space to host that big meeting or wedding reception. If you're hungry, food and drink are just steps away at Heroes Bar and Grill inside the hotel. So if you're planning a pool party, wedding reception, or just want a night away in a jacuzzi suite, Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island is your stop under the sun.
Tonight at Dells Raceway Park, Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells presents the Alive for 5 Race Number 3, the Dick Trickle 99. The UMA Super Late Models challenge each other for 99 grueling laps. The modified Sportsman's and INEX Legends add to the excitement. Gates open at 3, qualifying at 4:30, green flag racing at 6. Dells Raceway Park, located 5 miles west of Wisconsin Dells on Highways 12 and 16. Go online to DellsRaceWayPark.com for more info. Dick Trickle 99 tonight at Dells Raceway Park.
This is Mike Carlson, driver of the number 50 late model at the La Crosse Fairgrounds Speedway. You are listening to the Days Inn Midwest Race Report with Dan, Doc, and Paul on Cool Gold 1460.
Once again, welcome back, race fans. 1460, 101.3 WBOG. It's the Days Inn Midwest Race Report, and I'm Dan Dyker. That's Billy Doc Niles. That's Paul, the Penguin Riker, that everybody was calling him that at the Milwaukee Mile last weekend.
Getting selfies.
Has officially stayed. Hey, He was getting selfies with me in a bar. And can you believe I held him in a bar for more than 2 hours? Not against his will.
That's 2.5 longer than he's ever been in a bar.
He was liking the entertainment value.
Unbelievable. But you know what? It is.
Before we get to that, too, we're going to talk about the fantastic sponsors that have brought us not only to our ninth year of doing this show, but also on 101.3.
Yeah, we're on FM now, so we sound much clearer, don't we?
My goodness, Paul's in stereo. Oh, no!
And, of course, we got to thank our title sponsor, Days In, right here in La Crosse, our man Diker. He runs the joint right there. Talk to him. He'll get you set up with a great room. Big Boar Barbecue, once again, voted the best in the area here in La Crosse County. Dell's Raceway Park, big race going on tonight featuring Johnny Sauter and Rich Bickle Jr. Toma Sparta Speedway every Friday night just outside of Toma on Highway 21. FansArena.com, J&L Collectibles, and TheGlassCarver.com. It is that time. Yes.
You forgot the Midwest Racing Connection, the best.
Oh, the Midwest Racing Connection. That's not on my list.
It's been here since day one.
It's not on my list.
Dan Planet Gang. I can't wait to see what kind of a write-up he has with the Milwaukee Mile this week. It's going to be great.
Write that down right now, but I'm finally getting to it now. It's that time of the week where we find out where all the winners are from East Coast to West Coast, North to South, and even a couple across the borders. It's time for the Rikert Race Rewind.
All right. Bill, we'll start with Monday, the ARCA CRA Super Series at Berlin Raceway for the $20,000 Money in the Bank race, and for the second year in a row, Brian Campbell won. Brady Bacon won the USAC Sprint race Tuesday at Grandview Speedway in Bechtelsville, Pennsylvania. On Wednesday, the USAC Sprints were at Bridgeport Speedway in Swedesboro, New Jersey. Jason McDougall won. On Thursday, night one of the Masters weekend at Cedar Lake, Dustin Sorensen took the modified feature, Jimmy Mars in the NASCAR late model feature, Dan Gullickson the USRA modified feature. At State Park Speedway, Justin Mondyke won the super late model feature. At Kakona, the red race took place. Jesse Oudenhoven won the super late model feature. Nathan Wyken won the late model feature. The Dirt Car UMP Summer Nationals Hell Tour kicked off at Kankakee, Illinois. Brian Shirley the winner. Unfortunately, that was the only race of the week. Rain dominated that series this last week. Luke Sauer Late Model Dirt Series at Fayetteville, North Carolina. Kyle Bronson was your winner. Friday, night two of the Masters weekend at Cedar Lake. Lance Hofer won the USRA Late Model feature. The other features had to run Saturday afternoon thanks to the rain. John Cantor took the NASCAR Late Model feature, and the modified feature went to Terry Phillips. Fast Eddie Hoffman won the Super Late Model feature. Grundy, Denny Schott won the modified feature. Toma Sparta. All-Star Circuit Champions kicked off their annual Ohio Sprint Week at Attica. Kyle Larson, the winner. Orca was at Madison for the second year in a row. Chandler Smith, the winner. Mike Marlar won the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series race at Cherokee Speedway in Gaffney, South Carolina. Will Vaught won the Lucas Oil Midwest Late Model race at Beaver Dam. USAC Silver Crown Series at Williams Grove. Brady Bacon, the winner. And night one for the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars at Knoxville. Brian Brown was your winner. Saturday at 1:41, Dan Rodel won the IMCA modified feature. Final night of the Masters weekend at Cedar Lake. Dan Gullickson took the USRA Late Model feature, Pat Doerr the NASCAR Late Model feature, and the Big Money U.S. Modified Touring Series race went to Ryan Gustin. At the Dells, Jesse Bernhagen won the Late Model feature, Dave Troop the 602 Late Model feature. At Elko, double features for the NASCAR Late Models went to Chad Wallen and Jacob Gady. Sean Cheel won the Late Model feature at Jefferson. Kevin Buzzy Adams took the Wasilla Modified feature at Rice Lake. Max Kaler won the NASCAR Late Model feature at Rockford. AMA Pro Motocross at High Point Raceway in Mount Morris, Pennsylvania. Blake Baggett and Ken Roxon split the 450 motos. Eli Tomac, the overall winner. Jimmy Abert won the American Canadian Tour race at Thompson, Connecticut. IRA Sprints at Wilmot, that went to Scotty Thiel. And Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series at Smoky Mountain Speedway in Maryville, Tennessee, and I'm calling him Real Deal Junior. Hudson O'Neill won the race. Yes.
Lucas Oil Midwest Late Models at Dubuque. Chad Simpson, the winner. Tyler Courtney took the USAC Sprint race at Port Royal, Pennsylvania. And night two for the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars at Knoxville was won by Brad Sweet. Sunday, Slinger did race. Super Late Model feature went to Brad Keith. Jacob Nostad scored another late model feature win. All-Star Circuit of Champions at Muskegon County Speedway in Zanesville, Ohio. Dale Blaney, the winner. Of course, a big show at Milwaukee. First race there in about 5 years. ARCA Midwest Tour headlined. Austin Nason got by Dan Fredrickson late to score the win. Ron Wire won in the Mid-American Stock Car Series race. First time he ran since 2013. Levon Van Der Geest won the Midwest Truck Series race. Beat 14-year-old Joel Valento for the win.
Unreal.
And Upper Midwest Vintage Series at Milwaukee, another big win for Woody Poole in that cool-looking Torino there.
Woody Poole, he just keeps winning.
Yes. NHRA at Bristol, Mike Salinas won in Top Fuel, and Bob Tasca III took Funny Car. Passed North Tour at Speedway 95 in Herman, Maine. Derek Griffith scored the win.
And the world's biggest sports car race, the 87th edition of the 24 Hours of Le Mans, took place last weekend. The Toyota team of Fernando Alonso, Sebastian Buemi, and Kaz Nakajima scored the overall victory. And that'll wrap up this edition of Reichert's Race Rewind.
When we come back, we're going to close out the program with the Dick Trickle 99 feature from Dell's Raceway Park going on tonight. We're going to let you know what's going on at La Crosse Speedway and a whole lot more right here on 1460 101.3 WBOG.
Tonight at Dell's Raceway Park, Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells presents the Alive for 5 race number 3, the Dick Trickle 99. The UMA Super Late Models challenge each other for 99 grueling laps. The Modified Sportsman's and INX Legends add to the excitement. Gates open at 3, qualifying at 4:30, green flag racing at 6. Dells Raceway Park, located 5 miles west of Wisconsin Dells on Highways 12 and 16. Go online to DellsRaceWayPark.com for more info. Dick Trickle 99 tonight at Dells Raceway Park.
We issued the Ultimate Platter Challenge, and you said yes. Hi, this is Jerry at Big Boar Barbecue. Congratulations to Ethan Teske and Adam Allberg. They took the challenge and finished in under 30 minutes. It was a joy to behold. Half a pound of pulled pork, half a pound of brisket, half a rack of ribs, half a smoked chicken, 3 pints and sides, 4 slices of bread. Now it's your turn. Take the challenge, get the entire platter for free and another one to share. The Ultimate Platter Challenge at Big Boar Barbecue. And oh yeah, that's a huge mouthful.
Every Friday night, Western Wisconsin will once again come alive with the sights and sounds of stock car racing. And Friday night, it's the mid-season championships. The competition heats up. Mods, sportsmen, hobby stocks, mini stocks, Hornets, six shooters. For more information, go to TobaSpartaSpeedway.com.
And check out their Facebook page for events, giveaways, and a whole lot more.
It's the mid-season championships this Friday night at the Toba Sparta Speedway.
There's the white flag. One more lap on the Days Inn Midwest Race Report on Cool Gold 1460.
Welcome back one more time, race fans. The Days Inn Midwest Race Report on 1460, 101.3 WBOG. Dan, Bill, Paul, who wins Dell's Raceway Park tonight?
Oh, my God.
That might be the biggest question as who's going to win Milwaukee was on Sunday.
Well, Johnny doesn't have a baseline, so I'm not feeling too confident with him right now.
I myself, you know, I don't like favoritism. There's so many stars in this thing tonight. I wouldn't mind seeing Rich Bickle, who has this resurgent 2019 year. I wouldn't mind seeing a Rich Bickle win tonight.
Bickle, or you gotta nail me down, the ultra fast Casey Johnson.
Ooh. Unstoppable this year so far. You're exactly right, Paul.
I'm actually going to go with the man who went to Milwaukee on Sunday, Austin Mason.
He could be that could really, really be setting him off for having quite the rest of the year as well.
This is going to be a fun one. Yeah. I can't wait to watch the internet tonight.
And so Paul and I are standing on the pits, by the way. We're sitting there sharing a beer with Rich Bickle Jr., and I said the ultra-fast Casey Johnson when he walked by, and he knew exactly who I was talking about. Hey, Dan, how you doing? That's going to do it for the program today, folks. La Crosse Fairgrounds Speedway tonight. What do we have going on?
We got 4 divisions in action tonight. Twin 20-lap features.
Twin
20-lap features.
Paul.
2 of them, Paul. We're going to be busy tonight. We'll be watching the internet, checking out all the rest of the action going on. It's going to be a great night tonight.
LaCrosseSpeedway.com or check them out on Facebook. Make sure to add us to your Facebook. It grows and grows, and so does the contest. For our producer, Jesse, station manager, Rick Wilson, that's Paul, that's Bill, I'm Dan. Thanks for joining us on the Days Inn Midwest Race Report here on 1460 101.3 WBOG.
There's the checkered flag. That's this week's edition of the Days Inn Midwest Race Report, brought to you by the Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center, just off the interstate at Exit 2. Big Boar Barbecue on Highway 16 West Salem, home of the Ultimate Platter Challenge. By the Toma Sparta Speedway, racing Friday nights by FansArena.com, the official clothing supplier for Dan, Doc, and Paul. And by Dell's Raceway Park in Wisconsin Dells. Join us next week at the same time for the Days Inn Midwest Race Report on Cool Gold 1460 WBOG.